Knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses and working on your weaknesses and playing to your strengths is going to make you a better player and a better competitor in tournament golf. Confidence in yourself. You got to have confidence in yourself that you can play with all these people. And whether it's your Friday game, Saturday game, or Wednesday game, have the confidence in your game that you can go out and compete, and don't think that you can't play with other people, because you can.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Mama, welcome to the studio for the first time ever, I think.
Awesome setup. Awesome.
Yeah, you'll want to, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, awesome setup here.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
Awesome, beautiful.
This is Beef's third time, I think.
Third time, yeah.
Done a Band of Dunes recap, and I think we just had you on one other time, just on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he's a vet. This will be your first time. There's no pressure.
All right.
I promise. Yeah, it's perfect. Easy. We brought you in because we wanted to talk about your time at the U.S. Senior AM, correct? That's it. I'm stating that right.
Correct.
Not mid AM, not none of the other, like just senior, U.S. the senior AM.
Yeah.
I was doing a little research on you before too, and I won't steal too many introductions. But you also won the Minnesota. Was it the state open in 2017?
Regular state amateur.
The regular state AM in 2017. Correct. So you're no stranger to competitive golf at an elite level for the AMs.
Well, I've been playing for a long time. So
yeah, why don't you tell us about that? So you played at the University of Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I played at the University of Minnesota from 87 to 92. And at that point in time, I played in all four Big Ten championships and played most of the tournaments all 4 years. And then after I graduated from college, a lot of my teammates decided to turn pro. I didn't. I have too many other hobbies that I like to do. And I love to practice, but the playing 12 months out of the year just wasn't for me. So at that point in time, I just decided to try to become the best amateur I could kind of play and play in some fun tournaments and stuff and do what I could. So since then, I've just tried to play in half a dozen competitive events every summer. And sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less.
But didn't know it was that many.
Yeah, it's, I would say, somewhere in that range every year.
So then did you guys meet at Winsong, or when did you two meet?
Yeah, I think we originally met probably back in 06 or 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7 for sure, yeah.
That's like right when Winsong opened, or was it 2004? Oh, 2004?
Officially opened, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and so you guys both joined pretty early on then, maybe in the first year?
Yeah, I was there the first year, about the first 5 or 6 years I was there, and then I left for about 9 years when kids were growing up and way too busy and that. So then I came back about 5 or 6 years ago now. And so, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. So we brought Beef on obviously because he decided to caddy for you, and he'll obviously be trying to play now. You turn 55 next year?
Yeah, a little over a year. So I'm going to have two more competitions I cannot qualify for. So I told Mommy's got a couple of years before he has to worry about trying to beat me out in a qualifier, but.
And I'll be caddying for him then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I always joke around with Andy because I think a lot of people associate, because I have a golf podcast with him, and a lot of people think I know a lot about golf, and the reality is I really don't. Like, I'm still very new to the sport. If you wouldn't mind kind of explaining, I guess, amateur golf, at least, like, one, how do you qualify, like, the different ages? Like, I know there's a 50 and there's 55 for, like, the U.S. stuff. So, like, what are the, I guess, just talk a little bit about the qualification process, how you qualified, and then, like, what the differences are with, like, the age gaps and everything, whether it's in Minnesota or the USGA.
Yeah. So I'm going to be pretty vague on this because I'm not 100% sure either.
Our listeners have no clue.
This was my first year. So USGA events are 55 for senior events. So you have to be 55. And I don't know if it's the year of or before the event, but I turned 55 in March. So I was able to sign up and for a qualifier.
I do think I know that. I think it is before the event starts. So like if the event's on June 1 and you turned, 55 on February, whatever, you'd be able to play.
Yeah, you're good. So, But there's some other Minnesota events where some places, like the senior tour, their regular senior PGA tour is 50.
Okay.
And some of the USGA stuff is 55. And I don't really know if that's just pro and amateur, or if there's some amateur stuff where 50 years old can play in amateur stuff or not. I really don't know. This is really my first USGA event to play in.
You're one for one.
I was really one for two. I tried to qualify for the regular US amateur back in 04 or 5 or 6, whenever it was at Hazeltine last. There was a qualifier out at Windsong. And I tried to qualify for this USAM then, and I finished like third or fourth. I missed it by a shot or two. So I missed it then. So I'm actually one for two.
Well, one for one with senior stuff though, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take that. So not run into bad club.
Right.
So so how many qualifiers did you have to get through to make the senior?
So just one day event. It was held the first day of the state open. And I had been exempt for the state open. And it would have been a day where I would have had to play 18 in the morning at Rush Creek for the state open, and then 18 in the afternoon for the US senior amateur. And I figured that was going to be a little too much golf and too much competition in one day. So
And how were you exempt? Was it from the 2017 that you...
No, I was exempt from the US senior open.
Minnesota senior open.
Minnesota senior open that I played in this year in June at Keller.
See, it even confuses like the players.
Right.
I got it.
So I played in that in June, end of May and June, and finished second there, which got me into the AM and the Open, State AM and the State Open this year.
Got it. Okay. So then if I remember right, I'd love for you to talk about this, but the actual round you had, I believe you birdied the last two to get into a playoff. Is that how it went?
Well, no, not quite. I ended up birdying my 17th hole, but... Yeah, that day, it's about 70 players for two spots. And everybody just tees off on 1 or 10, and you go play 18 holes, and below two guys come out of that day. And I had a lost ball on my first nine, and my second nine, I had another one where I had to hit in the weeds and chopped it out. And I was 3 or 4 over, 5 over par maybe at one point in time. And then on my back nine, I made birdied like 3 of the next 4 holes to get it back to like even or 1 under or something. And then
give a little bit of detail on those birdies. Cause we talked afterwards and Mama was telling me about how just absolutely on fire with his irons. Like he was just stuffing it close.
He's so humble. He I know. You got to get it out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We need a little bit of detail on some of these shots.
Yeah. I mean, I had about a 5-hole stretch where, I hit it within 3 or 4 or 5 feet of the hole on
where was it at? Where was the qualifier at?
Minnesota, at Midland Hills.
Midland Hills.
Yeah, which I had not played since college, and it was a totally new golf course. So I didn't play a practice round or anything. I just I went and drove around the golf course about a week or so prior and kind of looked it over, but I had not played it in 35 years. But I kind of knew where I was going, and if you hit it straight on most golf courses and hit it in the right spot, you're okay. But I got to a point where I was 3 or 4 over par for the day. And I mean, I was actually playing well, but I had a lost ball and a 3-putt or something.
Yeah.
Hadn't really made anything. So I kind of said, I got to put the hammer down. My sister was on the bag at the time, and she hasn't caddied for me in 20 years or something. And she was on the bag for me. And I just started firing at all the pins and started hitting it close and birdied like 3 of the next 4. And then I finally looked at the leaderboard with like 4 holes to play and saw that I was still like a shot or two back. And I think I birdied the next, and then I made a couple pars. And then the 17th hole was a par 3 where there was a pin that there's no way you should shoot at it, but I had to make birdies. So I fired at it, or it was a 16th hole, and I fired at it and I hit it to like 3.5 feet. So on a par 3, and I had about a 3.5 footer for birdie, and felt like if I could make that, I was going to be right there. And not only did I miss the 3-footer, but I missed the comebacker. So I made bogey from 3 feet or 3.5 feet. And then I kind of felt like, well, now I got to birdie the last two for sure. And I birdied the next one. I hit it to like 12 feet and birdied the next hole. And then I missed about a 10-footer on the last hole. But it was good enough to get me into a 3-for-2 playoff.
Yeah, 3-for-2 playoff. Two people make it. What happened to the playoff?
I hit first and hit it right down the middle, and the other two guys hit, and they were about 40 yards behind me. I must have caught a hill or something, and They both hit it up there to about 20
Humble
feet
again.
25 feet. And I, we had about an hour and a half rain delay during this round earlier. And I had drove it down into a little valley where it was really wet, but not enough to have casual water. And I laid the sod over my sandwich, and the pin was like middle back, and I hit it on the front edge. So I had like a, I don't know, probably an 80 footer, and it was dark. And they both for birdie, and they both had like 20 footers for birdie. And I legged my 80 footer up there to about a foot and a half and marked it. And then one of the other guys ended up three putting, and I made mine, and the other guy two putted. So
that was it. So then you moved on. So this is where beef comes into play, because as much as you probably love your sister, she wasn't going to caddy for you down at the honors course. Is that how quick was that combo?
Yeah, that wasn't really in the cards. I probably wasn't going to have her. She didn't think I had a real positive mental attitude towards my game. I'm a little hard on myself when I play, but so I knew Beef would be used to that. But on the way home, I talked to Beef, and he said, "Well, you know, when you go down there, if you'd like to go down there, you know, I'd love to be on the bag for you." And I'm like, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah." And so I said, "Oh, great, you know," and all that. And I thought, well, time will go by and you might forget about that. But we talked a couple of weeks later, and I'm like, "Are you dead serious about that?" And he's like, "Yeah, absolutely." And I'm like, "Well, I'm going and I need a caddy. So if you'd like to do it, I'd love to have you."
There you go.
On the bag. So it worked out awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I follow all of our guys, right? Like, and you know, you played in the state mid-am, or, you know, you played in some stuff, Jordan, and, you know, a lot of our other members playing stuff, and I played in some things, but it's years ago. And so whenever any of our guys are playing in things, I follow, like I get online and I follow the scores. I want to see how guys are doing. And especially if it's a good buddy of mine. And when I saw Dave made it, you know, I was following the scores, and then I saw him made it, you know, he sends me a picture of him having a celebratory Jack and diet afterwards. And we ended up talking that night, and he kind of went through the round and how he got it done. And I just said, "Hey man, I'd love to caddy for you if you need a caddy." So we kind of left it at that. And like you said, you know, we talk again the next day. He calls me the next morning. He goes, "Were you serious?" Or he goes, "I wasn't sure if you were
drinking. I have too many Jack and diets."
Yeah.
"You have too many Jack and diets."
Yeah. "I wasn't sure if you were drinking or if I was drinking." I'm like, "I'm dead serious. I would love to caddy for you. I think it'd be a great experience." So, you know, things just fell together. And then I don't think either one of us realized at the time, but he called my attention to it. He's like, "You know, that's club championship weekend at Windsong." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." He's like, "You should play in that." And I'm like, "I already won the senior one. I can give the young guys a chance to win the regular one this year." But, you know, in all honesty, you know, I told him, I said, "There's going to be a lot more club championships. Hopefully I'm, you know, still good enough to play in them." But like the chances of my getting a caddy for one of my good buddies at a USGA event, you know, that doesn't come around too often. So to me, it was an easy choice, and it was super fun.
Yeah. So the part that I want to dig into, which is the fun part for me, is learning, you know, more about competitive golf. Like, it's something that I'm trying to do a lot more, because I just know it makes you better. And I know that you play a lot of it, Mama, and like, you've helped me in some of my events and things like that. How did you guys prepare for, you know, going down to a course I don't think either of you had seen before, right? And like, I mean, I've known, we've talked about the honors course down in Tennessee, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of like a couple guys that have played it, right? Like, it's not a course that, you know, everybody and their mother has played. So what was the process of like, you know, obviously I imagine there's some practice rounds beforehand, you're able to go down there. But what's the prep look like for both of you, one as a caddy and two as a player, like trying to figure out how you're going to go out there? And then also, I believe the format's 2 days of stroke play, right? And then correct. In order to get to match play, similar to how the US AM is.
Correct.
Right. So correct. You're trying to also prepare for a little bit of like, you know, stroke to move on to match play. Like, what's kind of the process for it?
Yeah, for me, you know, early on you could go in and log in and find a course guide to the honors course down there. So, you know, I'd click on that every so often and kind of look at the holes and try to get a feel for what kind of course it was, if it was a linksy style course or through the trees or a lot of water or a lot of sand or what it was. So, you know, the overview and the flyovers didn't give you a lot, but I got a little bit of general feel for it. I made some calls to some former college coach and the current coach, and some players that had maybe been there or played it, and tried to get some information from them. I talked to Lumpy, and he contacted a friend just to learn a little bit more about the grasses and what the greens were and what the roughs were and you know, how the course was. So I did as much as I could, you know, online and talking to people to learn about the course. But quite honestly, I just tried to practice here at home before I left, just trying to hit the driver straight and get my iron solid, maybe work on my short game and putting and, you know, and then just hopefully if you hit it well, your game will travel.
Yeah. I mean, we'll obviously talk about like the couple of days that you played, but in hindsight, was there anything that, you know, of all the preparation you did, or was talking to people, learning about the grant, like whatever, in hindsight, you're like, oh yeah, this was super helpful. And this wasn't like, I always, so my example is I always think of, like you said, like the grass, like when I go down and play in Arizona, I mean, I feel like I could legitimately have two or three different wedges than what I play here on bent grass. Like, is there some stuff you're like, oh yeah, this actually was something I needed to take into consideration, and there was something else that just didn't matter at all?
No, I wouldn't say too much. You know, with the greens, the Bermuda greens or whatever, you know, that they're a little bit greenier. So the, you know, the down green ones are a little bit faster and the into the green ones are a little bit slower. But aside from that, I mean, just, it's kind of like playing a fast green or playing a slow green. I mean, when you had a downhill down green putt, you knew it was going to be really, really fast and had to judge it accordingly. But preparation wise, I don't think I changed anything or would have changed anything.
Yeah. What about for you, Beef? Did you do a bunch of research on it?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I did as much as I could as well. Same as Mama, just basically contacting people I knew had played there, trying to get a feel for what the course was like. And, you know, what I heard consistently was like, it's really hard. Like, it's a really hard golf course. And, you know, I told them what we were going there for and why I was asking. And, I thought the course set up really well for Dave and his strengths. And, the one thing I would say, and he actually mentioned me, it's funny, he brought it up, but like the Bermuda greens, like, he's like, I haven't put it on Bermuda greens in 30 years. He's like, I said, well, luckily for you, I have, like, I pretty much every year I play a decent amount of golf on Bermuda greens, 'cause I go to Florida, you know, for whatever, a week at a time and play, you know, so I'm like, I'm pretty decent at reading greens. We can get this figured out. And, getting there, you know, the Bermuda is so good nowadays, especially on really nice courses like that, that the grain wasn't nearly as much a factor as it used to be. So, I think Dave picked it up super quick on his own. Like, it wasn't as big a deal as we kind of thought it might be. The greens were amazing. They rolled great. So that wasn't a problem at all. The one thing that I would say that I noticed, and obviously I wasn't playing, I was caddying, but like the rough there was kind of non-existent. Like, it was really short and the ball generally sat up on top of it. I was worried it was going to be really thick Bermuda that sometimes go to the bottom. And when you haven't played in that much, it's really hard to judge how it's going to come out of there. And sometimes you get a flyer, sometimes you don't. But when we played those first few rounds of practice rounds and the qualifying rounds, the ball generally sat up on top really nice. And it looked like you could just hit it like a normal shot you would in the middle of the fairway. And I would say 70% of the time, 75% of the time, it came out like that. But the other 25%, it literally just didn't go anywhere. Like, it would come up a full club short a lot of times and end up going left most of the time. And, you know, again, I didn't play, so it was hard for me to really understand how that happened. You know, I'd be looking at it like, wow, that was a perfect lie. Like, but, you know, the way Dave explained it to me, he's like, yeah, it looks like it should come out, but sometimes it just catches your hosel a little bit or whatever, even though it's a perfect lie. So I don't know what more we could have done. You know, we had the two practice rounds and we hit some shots actually in the practice rounds and on the range out of the rough to try to get a feel for that. But that's just, you know, that's just golf, right? Like, sometimes the ball comes out great, sometimes it doesn't. But it was really deceptive the way the ball sat. You would think it would come out perfect every time, and it did probably three quarters of the time. But I don't think there's anything more we could have done to prepare for it.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, back, you know, not gonna age you, Mama, but back when you played college golf, I feel like nowadays the way that the sport has changed. Like, I follow a lot of these golf college golf pages, right? Like, I follow the ASU page and some of the other like big colleges. You know, all the kids got like different green books for every single course that they play, right? And all the different yardages, and they'll like switch out their wedges and sometimes switch out their balls when they're playing different courses. Was that even a thing back when you guys played in college?
We didn't have range finders. You know, we never, I mean, we bought our own golf clubs. There was no TrackMan. There was nothing. I mean, we had Bellotta golf balls and we hardly even had swing coaches. I mean, back then, you know.
So the reason I ask is all about like the way that, you know, you prepare, whether it's for a USGA event or like something here in Minnesota. Like, I feel like the way that you prepare is more just on feel and like your game, and you just know your game and you play your game super, super well, which is why you're so good. And I feel like for a player like me that's still trying to learn, like sometimes I'll try and change my routine or change different things. And I'm always flabbergasted the way that you approach it. And like the way I see Beef approach is just like, I know my game. I'm going to play my game to the best of my ability. And I'm kind of curious if like, whether that has to do with age or not. Like, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I mean, both of you guys are, because how old are you? 50?
53.
Yeah. 53 and you're 55. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm in my like lower 30s and I see a lot of these other guys like, you know, from Hazeltine and others that are younger, they try and do the stuff that I do. And I'm like, man, maybe there's something to just like showing up and doing it the old school way. And so I'm kind of curious your thoughts on that. Like, is there almost too much that goes into it nowadays? Like you almost overthink of it. And it's just like, show up to the course with your fucking clubs and try and go low.
Well, that's kind of what that's my perception of it. I mean, and I love what you've done to your game over the last 2, 3, 4 years. And I've learned a lot and I love listening to the podcast and decade golf and some of these different things, but still, you know, the bottom line is get the ball in the holes in the least amount of strokes as possible. And I agree that you got to have the right irons and the right shafts and the right wedges and drivers and all that stuff. But I mean, once you've got your 14 clubs in the bag, it's up to you to learn how to hit them and get the ball in the hole and figure out distances and things like that. So I think that's more important than how far you can hit it is how straight you can hit it and hitting your numbers. And so I think that there's a lot to that. I mean, I would never switch clubs to go to a different golf course because that would be foreign to me and something I've never done. So that's what I do. I kind of stick with the same clubs. And
do you switch your ball or do you switch anything? Have you ever, cause I know like Beef, you toy around with switching balls every now and again and for conditions, but you don't change anything.
I haven't, you know, and maybe it's something that I can play around with this winter in the simulator, hitting some TaylorMades or the X or the regular Titleist, but I haven't switched much. I used to play the X and because Titleist flip-flopped their golf ball, now I play the regular Pro V, but that's about it. But I have not done much checking on balls.
Yeah, I switch balls basically just because of wind. Like the two balls I play, I feel one is better in the wind, but they act the same. Like, you know what I mean? They're both firmer. They both spin less. So to me, it's not a huge adjustment. The only reason I change is if it's a really windy day, I just feel like the TaylorMade ball is better than a Titleist ball. So it's not a huge adjustment, but you know, I'll give Mama, you know, a compliment, which he well deserves. And you brought up the point, like what he's so good at is knowing what he's capable of. And he plays his game to that type of golf. Like he doesn't try to hit shots that he, you know, might hit 10% of the time or 15% of the time, even if it calls for that shot, right? Like if it's a back right pin with the wind moving right to left and you got to hit a fade up against it to hold it, land it soft. Like he's just not going to hit that shot. Like he's probably going to aim at the flag and let the wind move it a little bit to the left of the flag. And then he's going to have a 10 or 15 or 20 foot putt that he feels like he can make because he's a great putter. You know, and I think the guys that try to hit those kind of shots are the guys that play golf for a living, right? Like they practice that much. They've made thousands and thousands of swings to be able to cut it against the wind or draw it into the wind or whatever it may be. Mom is just really disciplined hitting the shots he knows how to hit and knowing where the ball is going to go. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for that because I think it takes a lot of discipline to just be like, all right, you know, I know I know to hit this tight, I need to hit this shot, but I don't really have that shot. So I'm going to hit it 15, 20 feet and try to make the putt, which, you know, we've all seen Mama putt. He's an incredible putter. Like I would take my chances from 15 feet away.
He's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. He doesn't need to hit it to 4 feet to make birdie. So to your point, I think, I don't know if that's something he's learned over time, but I think if you notice really good players, they generally play, like you said, to their strengths and they don't try to do something that they don't do very often just because that particular shot calls for it. You know what I mean? Take your medicine, try to hit the pins, try to get as close to the pins you can because your shot shape favors that pin. On the ones that don't, or like, you know, I know we talked in the past about hitting driver off a tee compared to laying up or whatever, all those kinds of things. All those kinds of things I learned just because I played with golfers like Mama over the past 18, 16 years. Like when I first started getting really into golf, I was just a good athlete and I tried to kind of just be athletic and make the ball do what I wanted it to do without thinking much about it. But the more I played with really good golfers, I realized like, okay, there's times just because I could back then, just because there's times I could hit it 330 off the tee doesn't mean it was smart to hit it 330 off the tee. Probably smarter to hit a 260 and have a full shot in or whatever. because you have a better chance of making a good score over time. And you learn those things. To me, I learn them by playing with good players and watch what they do and like see how they minimize mistakes and maximize potential birdie opportunities because they play golf, you know, smart. They don't take unnecessary chances.
Yeah. And so the, what was the, I mean, obviously there's 2 days of stroke play. How many days did they give you for practice? Like what was the actual schedule of events per, like when you guys went down there, right? Was it like a Tuesday to potentially Sunday type deal, or like how many days were travel, how many days were practice? Kind of just walk me through what you guys did actually when you went down there before even playing.
Yeah, we both got down there separately, but we both met at the golf course on that Thursday morning, late morning. We ended up driving down, B flew down and drove in from Atlanta. But we had a practice round about 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. And it was hot. It was 90 degrees or something, but a beautiful day. And Beef and I'll say that we have never been to a golf course where there was 4 days with zero wind. I mean, I've never been to a place where no wind for four straight days. But so beautiful weather, beautiful golf course. It was in great shape. We had great groups in the practice rounds. The first day, we played with a guy that had played in a USGA championship. In fact, it was the guy that qualified out of the other Minnesota guy, but he was from Toronto actually, but he qualified out of the Minnesota location. But he invited me to join he and his group for the first day of the practice round. And we had a great time. The other two guys were first timers. So we played that day and I didn't play real well after being in the car all day, but the next day it came out and we had a practice round in the morning. So it was a little bit cooler and we played with three other guys that I didn't know who they were, just signed up and they were all first timers. And for the most part, they didn't want you hitting a lot of shots and stuff, but we all took extra tee ball here and there, an extra shot into the iron, into the greens, and then maybe worked around the greens a little bit. But, you know, so that was basically our practice round, just getting a feel for the course and knowing where we wanted to hit it. And we'd throw down some discs or something just to putt to and possible pin placements and roll some putts to things. But for the most part, just kind of prepared and tried to hit the ball and like I did back home and figure out where that put us and where we wanted to be coming into the greens from.
So what was the, like, let's talk about the honors course. Like, what was it like? Because I've heard awesome things about the course. Like you said, it's very difficult, but it sounds like it's just a phenomenal course. I mean, aside from how you played and all those things, like what was the honors course like?
It was awesome. I was extremely impressed. Like, I've heard nothing but great things about it. Everybody I've talked to, reading about it online in, you know, publications, magazines. I had very high expectations, but we got there and, you know, I'm sure it's like this regularly, but, you know, with it being a USGA event and the way they put that event on, all of it combined, the course itself, the club itself, the way we were treated, the hospitality, the food, everything was off the charts. The course was incredible. Like, it was, like Dave said, we had perfect weather. It was warm, but we had perfect weather for 4 days and the course could not have been any better. Like, it was immaculate. You couldn't find a ball mark. You couldn't find a divot anywhere. It was firm and fast. It was just beautiful. And it made me jealous. I wish I was playing. Like, I mean, I know I wasn't old enough to qualify.
You didn't get to bring your sticks for the practice round or anything.
No, but it was, you know, and obviously I would have had to play very well just to qualify, but like, it made me jealous. I wish I was playing. It was just a really good golf course. I thought it was fair. I mean, it was definitely difficult without question, but I thought it was very fair. The fairways were larger than I thought. I thought they would be much tighter just from what I heard. People made it sound like it was incredibly tight. And maybe it's just because all of us have played a lot of really nice golf courses and I've played plenty of golf courses that I would consider very tight. And I didn't think it was super tight. Like, it wasn't wide open by any means, but it was fair. Like, there was plenty of room.
What would you compare it to, like, locally?
Oh man, it's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, probably not quite as wide as Windsong, but not much tighter, honestly. I mean, there was plenty of room off the tee.
40, 50 yard wide fairways.
Not all of them, but most of them.
30 to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was more, I mean, even though the rough wasn't bad, it was definitely a benefit to be in the fairway, to just be able to control the spin coming into the greens. But it was generous off the tee. I mean, it wasn't like if you were just in the right rough or just in the left rough, you still had a wide open shot. It was just, there was better places to come in from, you know, in the fairways, you know, right side, left side or whatever. But, you know, through our two practice rounds, we had really picked our lines and knew how far I hit it and knew kind of what tree I had to hit it at or what bunker I need to hit it at or whatever. We knew the yardages off the tee. So I thought we were really well prepared. The course didn't seem very hard to beef. I mean, one little funny story, we were on about our 16th hole of day two in the practice round, and I had hit some little chips on a par three from just short of the green and set my 50-degree wedge down. And as you know, Beef, he always chips with his 56 or 58.
54, yeah.
54 around the greens. And I had my little 50 degrees leaning up against the bag and grabbed my putter and went to hit a few putts and left the ball sitting there. And so Beef grabbed my 50-degree and the pin was, I don't know, probably 35 feet away or something. And we were all kind of putting around and Beef laid that Titleist ball down and grabbed my 50-degree and chipped it, and he rolled it in like a putt, chipped in. He put my 50-degree back in the bag and said, well, this green's not
pretty easy.
Tough.
Yeah. Place so, pretty easy. Yeah. Yeah.
We all looked at him like, holy cow, what in the world? So yeah, that was a pretty cool story. But
I said, I'm done after that. Was it my one and done? I'm going out with one chip in and that's it.
But you know, it was really weird because, you know, now I guess getting out of the tournament, day one, I can't remember what time did we play morning. We played in the morning on day one.
Yep.
And had a good tee time and a good pairing and nice guys and beautiful weather. And we came out in the first six holes. We played six holes. We played fantastic. I think I'd hit every fairway and I'd hit every green. And at the time, I think I was even par or something. And, you know, could have been a couple under. Had rolled some really good putts that just didn't go in. And our seventh hole, drove it right down the middle, had a good look, and pin was like back right, and there was water left, but you could not miss the green right. So I tried to hit it, you know, 15, 20 feet left of it, and I hit a bad 8 iron, and I pulled it into the water. And we ended up making double on that hole. And then the next hole was a par three, and I hit an 8 iron a little bit fat and had it covered, you know, another 5 yards or 8 yards. It would have been probably close, but ended up in the bunker and I hit a good bunker shot to 4 feet and missed it. So we were three over at the turn and really I had hit two bad golf shots and was playing really well. Got to the back nine and had a three putt or something in there or two. We birdied the 17th hole, a par five. I chipped it to like 3 inches and tapped that in for birdie. And then I ended up on the 18th hole. Pin was like front right and I had hit a really good wedge or 9 iron in there. And there was a big ridge there and, you know, had my ball landed 3 feet further right on that ridge, it would have caught the ridge and taken it right down to the hole, but it stayed up top. So I had a really super fast putt and rolled it by the hole 4 or 5 feet and missed that coming back. So we bogeyed the last hole for the first day to shoot 77. And really, if I go back and look at that round, you know, I'd maybe want three full swings over, you know, and maybe one or two putts over is all. And
it was five over, that's 72.
Yeah.
So shot 77 and I felt like I hit it good. Felt like I played it good. I felt like I putted it good. And we went in and, you know, I took a shower and we came back out, grabbed a bite to eat. And it was only 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And I talked to Beef a little bit. And I'm like, well, maybe I should go out and work on my game a little bit. And he's like, well, what are you going to work on? I mean, you hit 10 of 14 greens and you hit 14, 18 greens and you hit a bunch of really good putts and the greens you missed, you hit really good chips and, you know, it's 95 degrees. I think you're fine. You know, and at the time we had no idea how 77 was going to be because we were one of the first groups and in the morning. So,
well, that 77 is the worst he could have shot. Like he could not have shot a worse score than that. The way he played, the way he hit it, he literally made no putts. I mean, he rolled it great. Speed was perfect all day with the exception of the 1 3 putt. I mean, I'm like, he played great. We just got nothing out of it. He made one birdie. You know, for all those good shots he hit and all, you know, he had a handful of very good looks at birdie. And the only one he made was a 2-inch tap in on a par five. So
yeah,
I thought he played great. And I, you know, I knew at the time, I'm like, you know, I saw some of the scores cause we, like mom said, we were early, but I also saw the rest of the people posting scores. I'm like, we're right there. Like we're fine. Like I think after the day we were inside the top 30, we were 25th or something like that.
I remember looking and thinking, oh, he's like right in the middle, in the mix.
Top quarter, top third, whatever. And I'm like, we play like that again tomorrow, we're golden. And then once we get to match play, like good luck everybody else. Mama in match play is not who you want to be playing against. So I thought we were in a good position.
And you were. So what happened on day two? Like, did the course setup change all that much? Like, did they make it? Because I do remember seeing that day two, it didn't matter the guy that was in first or last, like the scores were much higher on day two.
So day two, I didn't think the golf course was really set up any differently. The pins were fair. I thought the golf course setup was great, and we got off. I bogeyed the first hole, but then the next couple holes I hit
great it to bogey.
I was in the weeds. After my second shot, and ended up like two putting from 100 feet or something over a tier and 20 feet of break, and two putted it, and then the next hole I hit it to like 8 feet and just missed it for birdie. And the next hole I hit it to 4 feet and lipped it out. And the next couple holes I hit it close and just missed birdies. And so, I mean, we were off to a really good start. I think we were one over through four or five holes. And then the next two holes, I thought I hit, you know, really good shots, kind of where I wanted to. And I missed my mark by maybe 4 or 5 feet is all. And got just a couple of bad breaks where it landed on the fringe and hit the edge of the green that was elevated and kicked into the backside of a bunker and made a great four on this par three to even get a club on the ball out of the bunker to hit it to 56, you know, whatever, and then two putt it. And the next hole I hit a really nice 8 iron into a hole, and you know, and wind was into us right to left, and instead of it drawing a little bit and kicking left on the green, it kicked right somehow and went into a bunker, and I was underneath a bush in the bunker and had a, you know, really tough bunker shot to that one down in two and made a bogey there. And so just the day kind of got away from me, hitting some good shots and getting, I shouldn't say bad breaks, but just not bounces that I expected. And through 7 or 8 holes, I really felt like I could have been 2 or 3 under, and I was like 4 over. And then I ended up making a double on a par three where I, you know, there was water short and right, and the pin was back right. And I missed it long left where you got to kind of miss it. I had a tough chip and got it on, and then I three putted it. And then I missed a little 4 footer on the next hole. And then our ninth hole is kind of where the dagger, I had a 9 iron from like 176 yards. And we were trying to keep it short of the hole because you couldn't go over this green. And I caught a flyer and it flew over the green, and we made double there. So through nine, and I had hit that shot exactly the way I wanted to, right? Where I wanted to. And so really through 9 holes, I mean, I would have asked for maybe 2 shots back in those 9 holes. Otherwise, I hit the other shots the way I wanted to. They just didn't turn out like I wanted to. And then when we made the turn, we knew that we had to press a little bit. And so I went for both of the par fives and ended up, I think, bogeying both of them, which I would have never gone for those par fives. But it didn't matter if I missed the cut by 4 or by 1. We had to make up some ground, and just didn't work out.
And that's... people ask me since I've been back, and I'm sure they asked Dave too, but like, it was like, oh man, the scores were so high, and like, it must've been crazy hard. And again, it wasn't set up any harder. It wasn't like, it just was, I think every person that played in it would probably have a similar story. Like, I had some pretty good shots and I got a bad bounce, and next thing you know, it's a bogey. And then I, you know, I ended up three putting this one hole. And you know, from the guys we played with in the practice round, the guys we played with in the tournament rounds, it wasn't like guys were just spraying it all over the place and hitting it out of bounds and hitting terrible shots. And it was just like, you know, one not great bounce here, one not great bounce there, one ball that you thought was going to go this way ended up going the other way. And next thing you know, you made a bogey, then you made a double. And now you're, like Dave said, both days he could have been 1 or 2 under par through the first 6 or 8 holes. And both days he was 1 over par. You know, I mean, it's that fine of a line. So just, you know, that's golf. I mean, you got to play well, especially in a USGA event, and you got to get some breaks and the right kind of bounces to help you out. But, you know, I've told people since we've been back, like, Dave played great. Like, he didn't play bad at all. Like, he played very well. We just didn't score well. Over the 2 days, he made 1 birdie. I mean, what are the odds that a player of this caliber is going to make one birdie over 2 days?
Pretty slim.
Doesn't happen. And it wasn't because, you know, he was putting from 50, 60 feet every hole. He had plenty of putts from inside of 15 feet. We just didn't make any of them. And they were all good putts. Just hardly any of them. Only one that went in was the tap in.
Well, I imagine you're looking forward to next year, trying to qualify again and go back. I mean, what are the 6 events that you play? And then Beef, are you going to start playing in some more competitive stuff now?
I'll probably start playing it more. That for sure, being there and seeing how, you know, cool it was, and you know, seeing the players that Dave was competing against, like, it kind of gave me some like realization, like, I'm pretty good. Like, I might be able to do this. You know, I'm just an athlete. I didn't grow up playing golf. I wasn't a golfer my whole life. And I've been fortunate enough to play around a bunch of really good players that are also great dudes here in town at Windsong and other places. And, you know, I've kind of prided myself on being able to hang with these guys, but like being at a USGA event and seeing guys the way they play, no slight on them. It's kind of like, I could probably hang with these guys, you know? So it's kind of given me a little bit of motivation to start trying to play more competitive golf and maybe get myself in some of those situations for sure.
And mommy, so you're going to obviously try and play in that. What else do you play in? You're right. You said you play in six competitive events. Now I'm kind of curious to know what they are.
And somewhere around there, you know, every year I try to play in the Senior State Open, which is at Keller, the State Amateur, the State Open. I'll try the senior US Senior Amateur again, qualifier. You know, I might dip my hand into the mid players championship. I played in the senior state am this year. There's probably an event or two I'm missing.
I mean, that's six mixed, right there. So
you play in the mixed
thing? Oh yeah. Mixed. I played in the mixed four ball with Brenda Williams this year.
Playing the senior four ball too?
I did not play in the senior four ball. That was just
you guys going to be senior four ball partners here.
I got to get a year and a half older, I think.
I mean, and that's an event that I would, you know, it's always in late September, and that was just held last week, and I was up in Saskatchewan, but
duck hunting.
But I typically put the clubs away right after the Mac Cup. In fact, I have not touched a club since the Mac Cup in 2 weeks. Two and a half weeks. So
what do you do with the simulator at home? It just stays off.
That's after hunting season.
Yeah. Oh, that's after hunting
January,
season.
January, February, March. I'll probably try to get back at it, but I need a break.
Yeah,
since we're talking about hunting real quick. We got to go back to the beginning when you talked about when he was in college golf and they were going to play Olympic Club in San Francisco and what happened, the interaction between you and our coach. This is amazing. This story has to be told.
So I was a junior in college at the University of Minnesota and I was going through some swing changes with the new coach and he was trying to get me to change my swing and I was working hard at it. And finally we threw that away and I just said, coach, I can't do that anymore. Let me just go back to being an athlete and hitting the golf ball and playing my own way. And if I don't make it, I don't make it. And if I make it, I make it, you know, on the team. And so I went back and I scrapped that and I worked hard and I missed like one tournament. And then he came to me like middle of, you know, first part of October. And he said, hey, Dave, you know, you've been working hard in your game and we just had a qualifier and you won the qualifier. And I'm going to take you to the Olympic Club for our next tournament. And I said, oh, great. You know, and I said, well, when is it? He said, well, it's October, you know, 2nd and 3rd. And I said, coach, I said, I can't make it. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you said the Olympic Club, October 2nd and 3rd. And I said, that's Minnesota Duck Opener. And he said, okay. And he said, but we're going to play the Olympic Club. And I said, what's the Olympic Club and where's the Olympic Club? He said, well, it's out in California. And I said, oh, well, it's still Duck Opener in Minnesota. And it's, you know, so October 2nd and 3rd. And I've been on Duck Opener with my dad for the last 20 years and I'm not going to miss a Duck Opener. And he said, well, do you realize you're here on a golf scholarship? And I said, yeah. And he said, you're going to the Olympic Club October 2nd and 3rd. I said, okay, I guess I'll phone my dad and let him know I can't make Duck Openers. So, yeah. So
you went.
So I went and kind of a funny story. I got on the first tee and I don't know, I probably hit it down the left side in the trees or something. And as I walked off the tee box, my golf coach had a duck call in his pocket and started blowing the duck call. And I turned around and I gave him the number one sign, you know, like, yeah, awesome. I'm in the woods and I could be duck hunting, but it ended up being a good experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to play the Olympic Club. It's pretty sweet. Probably the first duck opener you miss.
It was the first.
Probably ever.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, so that's all right.
I told him, make sure you don't schedule any more tournaments on duck opener.
for good reason.
Right.
So as we wrap up, I think, you know, a lot of people listen to the pod just, you know, about getting better at golf. I mean, I played play a bunch with Beef this year. Mama, we haven't played as much. We got to play in Ireland and I think we played a little bit more together this year. You guys have been playing the game for a while. I'm curious, just like, you know, the advice that you want to give to people like me or others that are listening, trying to get better at golf, whether it's, you know, working on short game, putting, like whatever it might be, people like listen for these little nuggets on how to get better at the game. Like it's the number one thing that we get for feedback. So I'm fortunate enough to have both of you two here. And, you know, Mom, you got to play at a USGA event, which is awesome. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment. I hope that you get to play in a lot more and I'm pretty confident you're going to qualify for some more. So now I get to follow along, but curious, just like your thoughts on the game, how to approach it. Like, what do you think is attributed to your success? I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the pod, like sticking to what you know, but you know, just curious on some tidbits of what you think guys and gals that are listening can pick up to, you know, take their game to the next level. Cause clearly you two have figured out how to do it.
Well, you know, I mean, I kind of going back, you know, I didn't play any golf last summer with my back surgery, But this year in what, I don't know, March or April, I think I had you guys over to my place to hit some balls in the simulator. And I maybe we were talking about the rodeo or something, but we were hitting balls in the simulator and Beef had his clubs there and you guys were all hitting clubs. And I had my old Mizuno irons and I've played Mizuno for 30 years. And I got to give credit to you guys because I ended up switching to those TaylorMade 790 irons this year. And I loved them. And credit to you guys. I mean, I got to hit your guys' clubs this year and loved them and end up ordering a set of those. So that was a game changer for me this year. You know, and then obviously I haven't driven the golf ball very well for about 30 years and
about 30 years.
tried to work hard
three
on it
decades.
This winter and tried a lot of different things, but finally kind of changed my driver swing a little bit this spring. And I think I drove it a lot better this year.
Definitely drove it really well this year.
So, you know, that was the biggest thing for me. But, you know, as far as competitive golf and number one, the golf course that we played at Windsong is, you know, we've got 20 guys that on any given day can beat you. And so the competitiveness out there makes us all better. I you know, I've probably only got 20 rounds all logged in out at Windsong this year. And you guys have probably got 50 or 60 or
we're not going to count.
Up. But, yeah. You know, and that's due to me playing a lot of tournament golf. And I love playing out there with you guys. But for some reason, I still have that competitive edge and love to play tournament golf and love to, not that I don't try as hard to beat your guys' brains in when we're out there playing on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning. But those are my rounds to maybe relax a little bit more and not be in such a grind mode, even though I'm trying as hard as I can. But
you still MF yourself a lot for being relaxed in a Friday or Saturday game with us.
Well, I still like hitting bad shots. But I'm hard on myself, but I'm trying to get better at that as well. But you know, as far as you know, competitive golf, I think. You know, whether it's money games with guys, and it doesn't have to be for thousands of dollars. It, you know, a $5 putt means as much as a $500 putt. I still just want to make the $5 putt or the $5,000 putt. It doesn't matter. But get the ball in play, knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses and working on your weaknesses and playing to your strengths is what I think, you know, is going to make you a better player and a better competitor in tournament golf. And, you know, I was never really nervous. I mean, obviously, I think the first tee ball, both days, maybe I was a little bit nervous down there at the honors course, but day one, I think I piped it right down the middle and hit a nice wedge in there to about 10 feet and had a good look at birdie. And day two, hit a good drive. I actually just hit it a little bit too far and into the right rough. But aside from that, I felt like I belonged. And I think the confidence in yourself, you got to have confidence in yourself that you can play with all these people, and whether it's your Friday game, Saturday game, or Wednesday game, have the confidence in your game that you can go out and compete and don't think that you can't play with other people because you can.
Yeah, for me, you know, again, it goes back to, I started playing golf when I got into pro baseball and didn't play at all in high school, really didn't play at all in college. And it was just something I picked up. And I've only had one lesson ever in my life. So everything I've done, I've kind of just done by feel and by learning from others, just by watching and, you know, occasionally asking, but usually just watching. And I've been fortunate that I played with and around a lot of really good players, especially the last 18 years that I've been here in Minnesota and playing at Windsong. I think it's really important to do that as a player. I think it really can help you just by osmosis. There's things that I've seen and learned since I've been here that have just made me better just by watching other guys, how they do it. Like, you know, when I first got here, Prousey's still a great putter, but you know, all of us know Prousey, one of my best buddies, like he made everything. Like he was the best putter I'd ever seen in my life. I'm like, how does this guy make everything? Like he made everything. The thing I took away from him was how aggressive he was putting. He didn't care if he had a 4 or 5 footer coming back because he knew he was going to make it. He didn't putt defensive or scared at all. He felt like he was going to make every putt and he putted aggressive because he knew he was a great putter. So I learned that from him. I learned the importance of hitting the ball straight over far from a lot of guys here. You know, I mean, there's guys, Jack Hillen's a good example. Jack hit it much further a couple of years ago, but he has toned his swing down because he can still hit it far while being a lot more accurate. And when you're more accurate, you have a better chance of hitting an iron close, all these things. So a lot of it I've learned just from playing with good players and picking up little things from them. Like, you know, Mama has an incredible short game. I try to, you know, emulate some of the things he does around the greens. You know, the guys that you play with or the people that you play with, you know, what do they do well and how do they do it well? Right. And we all can't, it's not as easy as like, oh, that's how they hit their iron shots. I'm going to do that. Like sometimes you're physically not able to do it. Sometimes for whatever reason, your swing doesn't allow you to swing like them. I'm not saying imitate people, but I am saying like, there's things you can learn just by being around other people and seeing like, oh, well, that's how they do that. That makes sense. He makes that look so easy. Why does he chip it close all the time? Like, I have that same shot and I don't hit it.
How does he get out of the bunkers 95 up and down to the bunkers 95% of the time?
Yeah, right. So, you know, and then be willing to ask too. Like you can see a lot of it just by playing with them. But then at the end of the round, be like, hey man, like what are you thinking when you're in a bunker? Like, why do you always hit it to inside of 8 feet all the time? Like, what's your thought process? Like here, I kind of struggle out of the bunker. Here's what I do. And then, you know, everybody has different techniques. Like, you know, we have Tim Herron at our club. We have Mario Tiziani. We have all these guys that are at higher levels than Dave or I, for sure, playing professional golf. We have young aspiring professional golfers and they don't all hit this. They don't have all the same short game. They all have different ideas of what a short game is. And if you're playing with and around these guys enough, you'll pick up things that will work for you, right? Like some, like Tim Herron's short game does not work for me. It works amazing for him. He's got an incredible short game for him. It works, but I can't hit shots like he hits. Tiziani's more like, you know, a little similar to me. Like Mama's similar to me. Like we have similar things, but like all of them are incredible at what they do. And I've learned a lot of those things just by watching and being able to play with them. So I think to me, that's a very easy thing. And then like, you know, like Mama said, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. When I first started getting better at golf, I've always been a really good driver of the golf ball. It's just kind of has always been a strength of mine. I could hit it relatively far and pretty straight for how far it went. My weakness was always my irons. For whatever reason, I just wasn't a great iron player. And it kind of bothered me because there'd be so many times I'd hit it, you know, I'd have a wedge or less into the green and I'd miss the green. I'm like, I freaking did the hard part. I'd hit it 300 yards down the middle and now I got a wedge in and I miss a green. Like now I'm making a bogey just because I can't hit a green from 100. That makes no sense.
And I'd be in a different fairway.
Yeah, exactly. But Luke Elfner actually helped me with that one. I was talking to Luke one day about it. I'm like, God, I'm so frustrated. I consistently hit fairways and hit it pretty far and I miss greens way too often. It drives me nuts. And Luke gave me the insight of like, you realize that even the best players in the world are either really good drivers of the ball or they're really good iron players. There's not that many players that are good at both. Like, honestly, like that. And we're talking the best players in the world, like PGA Tour guys. If you're a very good driver of the ball, it means you're generally an average iron player. If you're a great iron player, you're not really usually a good driver. And before he told me that, I had no idea. Like I was like, then I started looking at him like, you know what? That's actually true. Like Rory's an incredible driver of the ball. He's always been a kind of a okay iron player. You know, you got Spieth was always a great iron player, terrible driver of the ball. So that kind of opened my eyes like, oh, okay. I can be a little less hard on myself because like, I'm in nowhere near in the echelon of these guys. So it's okay if I miss a green. And because of that, I've taken pressure off my iron game and I've become a better iron player because I'm not constantly thinking like, oh, I got to hit it to 10 feet from 130 yards all the time. Cause like the guys on tour don't hit it to 10 feet from 130. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
expectations are a big thing too.
Expectations, playing with people better than you and hitting the ball straight is what I took out of all that. Things that I need to work on for sure, but we'll get there. So I appreciate you coming on, both of you. I hope that we are sitting in these exact spots next year after you advance to match play and hopefully make some noise there. Because like Beef said, I would honestly take you against anybody from any club in Minnesota in match play. So hopefully, you know, you qualify and get back there next year and it's at a different course and you make some noise and we'll be back here talking about it. Well, I'm looking forward to.
Thank you for having us on the show and the podcast. And Beef, thank you for coming down to Chattanooga and caddy for me. It couldn't have been a better caddy player, you know, partnership.
You guys are going to be part. I guarantee you guys are going to be partners in a four ball eventually. Yeah. So I don't know which one is.
He knows
be,
my but. Game, and I know his game, and it was a good fit, and it was a lot of fun to have him on the back down there.
Yeah, we had a little preview of it this year in the Mac Cup, so might continue.
I was going to say that after. Yeah. I was going to say, I think that was a little preview into what you guys can do in a four ball. So thank you guys for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks. It was awesome.